Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to everyone. Yes, you are now tuned into Facing Your Fears radio talk show with your host, Evangelist Norma Chapman. We are excited you are tuned in with us on today. Let us now bow our heads for our opening prayer. Father God, we thank you for another opportunity, Father God, to go forth, Father God, that we may, Father God, be an inspiration, Father God, to someone out there, Father God, that's in the need of help, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that you enabled us, Father God, to stand the gap for so many people, to encourage them, Father God, the way that they can find peace, happiness, love, and success in their life, Father God. We thank you for that, Father God, for giving us that wisdom and knowledge, and above all, Lord, understanding how to lead your people, Father God, to let them know, Father God, that they can always depend on you. All they have to do is surrender their lives to you, Father God. And, oh, Father God, you promise us that you will never leave us nor desert us, Father God. And, oh, Father God, we pray that, Father God, that we encourage everyone, Father God, to look to the hills on today which cometh their help. All of the help comes from you, Father God. And as we go forward on today, Father God, we pray that you stand in the midst of this program, Father God, and everything that we do and say would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. And when it's all over, that you may get the glory out of all that we do and say, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, listeners, we are so very happy to have in the studio with us once again our good friend, as a guest co-host on today, Mr. Stephen Smith, out of Tampa, Florida. Good afternoon, Mr. Smith. How are you on today?
Thank you, Evangelist Norma. I'm doing very well today, and I'm glad and excited to be on the show as well. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure having you tuned in with me, Mr. Smith. All right, listeners, our topic for today is coping with domestic violence during COVID-19. Yes, coping with domestic violence during COVID-19, during the pandemic, we're going through so much, and I can assure you that domestic violence is one of the biggest issues that they're having around the United States, and also, let me say, internationally. So today our topic is coping with domestic violence during COVID-19. And we all should know that we should have much knowledge as possible about domestic violence. As Domestic Violence Awareness Month began starting today, we want to share as much information, informative, important information as possible. Although domestic violence isn't new in our society, but it is still very much a deadly and sick crime. During the last month, many people have been stressed out about many issues that's happening in their lives. Let's remember, there are many people going through a worse time than they have ever before during the pandemic. COVID-19 has affected us. All COVID-19 has affected us all in so many different ways. Domestic violence victim is not only going through being abused, suffering from many abusive ways their abusers are putting them through, but are now suffering from many other issues. This can and be very deadly, both to the victims and the abusers. Stay tuned with us as we go and to our topic for today and share much more important information about domestic violence. If you was with me on last year when I first started Facing Your Fears, I gave a lot of information out. And as you know, that Facing Your Fears, God had given me a vision for the talk show and in reference to domestic violence, because I am a very big supporter of domestic violence. By me being a domestic violence survivor myself, I know it and I can relate to how it feels, what the family go through, even though I was not beaten or anything, but I was shot twice in my liver, stabbed the end from my heart, and I lied in a coma for 40 days. with 6-day blood transfusion and 7 surgeries. And I cold blew 3 times. And God, since that happened in March the 30th, 1990, and God has added 30 more years to my life, and somebody ought to give God the glory on today. I know I thank him, I praise him, and I lift up my hands to him. And even though I didn't go down the right path for many, many years, I still was out there in the world, and I didn't want to surrender my life to God. But God began to work with me and began to form me and mold me into what he wanted me to be. And I thank God on today that he has changed my life. He has turned me around and put me on the right path. And as I so often tell people, if you're going down some of the paths that I was going down, and the drugs and going in and out of ballrooms or having an affair, if you're married, outside of your marriage, and all other any other thing that the devil could have me to do, lying or sometimes stealing or whatever, the devil will have you to do, the devil will do to you what he had done to me, and that was try to take my life, and it also destroyed my marriage. But on today, we're going to talk about coping with domestic violence during COVID-19. Thank God I'm not in that environment anymore, but my heart goes out to those that are suffering and living in that type of environment. Now, we know that domestic violence, love is not abuse. Love, abuse is not love. And many, many people that I talk to are victims. I ask them, you know, why is it so hard for you to come out of the domestic violence environment? And some of them say it's because of their fear. Some of them say because they have no other income or nowhere to support themselves. And some just say simply be honest about it and say because they think that they are in love with their abuser and they think that their abuser are in love with them. Well, I come to tell you today that your abuser do not love you. And how could you love someone that's beating on you, abusing you, and sending you through all type of unhappiness, and your life is a turmoil, is turned upside down? That's not love. And I want to say to our listeners on today, if you know of anyone that's living such environment, that we want to help them to come out of that environment. First of all, we want to introduce them to God, because you can't do nothing without God. But through Christ, we can do all things, because he's the one that gives us the strength to endure whatever we go through in life. Now, some of the forms of abuse is threats and intimidation. You know, threaten to harm the victim, the children, the family, members, and pets. Using physical size to intimidate. You know, in other words, if they're bigger and you're a little short lady and they're much taller than you, or you a little small framed person and they're a big person, where they intimidate you, sometimes not all the time with hitting you, but just threatening you, and you being afraid of the physical size keeps you in that type of environment. Another type of form of abuse is keeping weapons and threats to use them. You may have, I know of someone that have a gun or a knife. They always keep it close by because they threaten the victim. If you say something, I would kill you, or I would stab you. And many, many times these victims have been shot. In many cases, these victims have been stabbed, not to say how many times they have been punched and kicked, spit on, and knocked about. Some other ways of abusing is trust, lying. Like I said in the beginning, when they say, I love you, that's a lie right there. And they lie to you over and over and over again, saying, I would never do it again. I promise you, I would never hit you again. I would never curse you out. I would never belittle you. I would never embarrass you. These are some of the lies that the abusers tell their victims, and their victims constantly fall for that particular lie. Breaking promises. I just said to you that they always say, I would never do it again. Don't leave me. Stay with me. Don't put me in jail. Or if you did call the police and they wound it up in jail, they tried to encourage you to go down and drop charges. And thank God you can't do that now because now the state take it over. But then make sure you don't go and testify against them to make so they can be able to not do the time. They want to do the crime, but most of them are cowards. They don't want to do the time. And if they're going in jail, they don't want to face somebody that's bigger than them, or they don't want to be intimidated by inmates as well. Another form of abuse is withholding and pardoning information. A lot of abusers take their victims' phones or where they won't have contact with their families, or take their ID, or take anything that they can use to help themselves. If they decide to leave, they won't have no means of information to get out there and get help for themselves. Another form of abuse is being unfaithful. Now, a lot of them, you know, they have affairs outside of the home that of the person that they're living with, or that they're dating, or that they're married to. So there's a lot of unfaithfulness that goes on as well. And you can, and it make you, a lot of them make they victims go along with them. A lot of them bring the woman to the house, and the victim cannot do anything but watch them have an affair with another partner. Being very jealous. The abuser is always very, very jealous, or they pretend to be very jealous, or they are threatening you, don't want you to go to the store by yourself, certain type of clothes that you can wear, the way that you should wear your hair, the way that you should look. They feel that they act like they want you to think they're very, very jealous of you, and in some cases they are jealous of their victims, and that's what keeps them chained and bound, and say that they think that they abuser love them because they show an affection that way, but that is not affection, and that's no happiness in that. Economic control, not paying the bills. Some of the victims do not have food in their house. The lights are electricity, water, and all type of bills that should be paid, they don't pay. And then yet they still will not allow the victims to get a job to help them to be independent. Refusing to give the victim money. They work, they have money, but they don't want to give the victims any money because they don't want the victim to have any money so they can be able to maneuver outside of the environment that they are prone to. Also, not letting the victim work. I said that earlier. They don't want you to find a job. They don't want you to be independent. They want you to be dependent so they can be able to, you can depend on them, and they make you feel that you have no other way of supporting yourself but through them. And some victims fall for that, and they stay in that environment year after year after year after year because they have no way of supporting themselves. Now, not allowing the victims to learn the skill. They don't want you to go to school. They beat you. These victims go through a lot, listeners. You know, they don't have no type of freedom for themselves. They can't think for themselves. They can't do anything because their abuser won't do all the thinking for them. Don't want them to get any education. Or if you have education, once you get into a relationship, change and bound to where you can't even use or be effective in what you have learned or your education. Also, prohibiting the victim from going to school. I just said that. So there's harassment, and that's following or stalking, and that's embarrassing the victim in public. Constantly checking up on the victim when they're not home, refusing to leave when they ask to get out of their house if they're living with the victim or et cetera, et cetera. They refuse to do that. Isolation is making it hard for the victim to see friends and family, as I said earlier. Monitoring their phone calls and reading their mails. Controlling where the victim go. I said that earlier as well. Taking the victim's car keys. I mentioned that as well. Checking mileage on the car. Now, a lot of times we've seen movies on TV, and it's some of it is true movies and some of them is fictional. But you look at a movie, you say, wow, how could that person, why don't she leave? Why don't she do this? Why don't he or she? And not only, I'm not just talking about a male that's abusing a female. We have aggressive females as well. They're very aggressive. You have females that are also abusers. They abuse their husbands and their boyfriends. And at a young age, you find them in college. When I had to do a talk show up in Hollow Springs, Mississippi, and they had the dean got on, and I asked her a question. No, I asked her, was domestic violence between the students there very popular? She said, yes, as a matter of fact, it's more popular for the girls than it was the boys. The boys comes into her office and says to her, please stop her from hitting me or cursing me because I do not want to hit her. She had problems with the ladies, with the young ladies as well. So they start out at an early age abusing their boyfriends, and it grows and grows. And I'm gonna pause here for a minute and encourage your listeners. You too can join in on this conversation on today. We're having by pressing the number one on your phone. If you have any comments, questions, or just want to share your thoughts or your experience on today's topic. And again, today's topic is coping with domestic violence during COVID-19. Well, why would you say during COVID-19, Evangelist Chapman? Well, because I just stated earlier that it's nothing new in our society. But just think about if that person is already going through a lot, and during COVID-19, their partners were working, at least they did have a couple of hours to be at home by themselves, yet and still they're afraid to do anything outside of what they were told to do. They still had that time at home. So just think about that abuser being there 24/7, 7 days a week, and you constantly being abused, cussed out, humiliated, harassed, and whatever else that comes with the subject that we're talking about on today. And I named a few of them in the beginning of the program. So remember, listeners, you too can tune in on this conversation if you just want to encourage someone out there. And we're going to have part two of this next week. We're only doing a half an hour today, and we do have Mr. Stephen Smith in the studio with us. And I'm going to yield here, and I'm going to come back and give you some more information on domestic violence. And I'm studying, looking at my dashboard. You can press that number one, and you will be brought into the studio, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Evangelist Norma. You brought up some very good points. You know, things have gotten pretty difficult for a lot of people with this pandemic and adjusting to it. And they've documented that domestic violence numbers have gone up as a result on an average of about 30%. And it is worldwide, like you had mentioned. It's, you know, we're seeing this all over the world, in Singapore and in Greece and France and Argentina and, of course, in America as well. And it's being caused because people are having to stay home, and they're having to stay home with their abusers. And it's a difficult thing because, you know, I hate to see people suffer. And for myself, you know, I come from it from a little bit different aspect, more of a mental abuse situation that I'd experienced. But regardless of whether it's physical or mental abuse, it's unnecessary in the end. And that is not love, like you had said, Evangelist Norma. It's just not love. And so right now, I mean, what's going through my mind is that if people are suffering at the hands of others from domestic violence, whether it is emotional or whether it is physical, that they reach out. That's the only way that something's going to change. There's people like yourself, Evangelist Norma, that are there to help people. There's organizations in everybody's town. I know out here in the Tampa area, I just live south of that, and in Sarasota. There's Children's and Children and Families. They will help support you. There's Spark, where you can go if you're in a difficult situation, and they'll take you in and get you away from that abuser. And so I just want people to know that if they're suffering, there's help. There's people like ourselves that want to help you. And if you don't mind, do you mind if I just go ahead, Evangelist Norma, and put the mention the 800 domestic violence hotline phone number here?
Yeah, information yes. At the end of the show. I'll be giving them information on how to get in contact with the domestic violence hotline and other information as well. But remember, we're coming back, and we're going to be giving more information in reference to today's topic. And this month, our listeners, is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So all of October, I'll be dealing with domestic violence. And there will be many special guests will be coming on that have been domestic violence victims, and they can attest to what they went through. And let me ask you, Mr. Smith, you said that you were in a domestic violence environment, but it was basically dealing with mental, your mental statuses. Can you share with the listeners on today what type of a mental environment were you going through at that time?
Certainly. I'd be happy to share that. You know, I was in a relationship where it was a situation where if I had said no to my girlfriend at the time, that didn't go over real well. What happened was is that I ended up, I came to understand that she was lying, deceiving, stealing from me, and it got to the point where if I were to not go along with what she wanted to do or was to say, no, I don't want to do that, the next thing I could expect is that then she would report me as the abuser. And then I ended up going to jail as a result of that, because when the police show up at your door, somebody's going to jail. And obviously, in most cases, when a woman is saying that the man has done something, the man goes to jail. And I did. And yet I hadn't hurt her. And so I went under false pretenses, and it was a difficult situation for me. So I was very confused, because I thought, well, I need to love this person with all my heart. I thought that's what, you know, God wants me to be unconditional. But what I had to learn in that experience was is that when you have to sacrifice yourself, or you're getting beat, or you're getting mentally abused, or you're scared to be able to even speak up, well, God doesn't want us necessarily to stay in those positions. That's what I felt. And so you actually have to distance yourself from that person. Certainly we want to love and be an expression of love, because that's what we are as children of God. That doesn't mean that we have to be with them and be in that environment. We had to step back, and so that's what I had to do. It took me a long time to recognize that I had to step back away from that so that I could become a better person and not be in a position of being in fear of what was going to happen next. And that's what I learned.
We want to thank you for that testimony. Listeners, you still have time. We still have a couple of minutes, only very few minutes left in today's show. And I am going to come back next week and do part two of coping with domestic violence. And in the following Thursdays will be other topics in reference to domestic violence. And as I said, and Mr. Smith just attests to lying. You know, that's one thing too that domestic violence victims, they have a tendency of lying and putting the blame on someone else, as well as the victim themselves always accusing themselves. They blame themselves for the environment that they're in. So next week, we're going to be talking about why it's so difficult to leave. I'm going to give you a little bit of that today. All too often, the question, why do people stay in abusive relationships, is posed to survivors, implying that they are to blame for the abuse. Instant questions like, how did the abusers prevent the other person from leaving? Or why do abusers choose to abuse their partners are more appropriate. These are serious factors that weigh on the abused person's decision to leave. And some reasons why they don't leave is, and we're going to emphasize on them next week, because we're going to go over time if I do it today. We're going to be talking about leaving can be dangerous, how dangerous it is for the victims to rationalize and realize that fear that their abuser's partner's actions will come more violent. They're afraid that they will become more violent than what they are at the time if they attempt to leave or even say that they're going to leave. Another reason is why it's so hard for them to leave is what about the kids? They think about the children, and we're going to talk about that on next week. Also, we're going to talk about isolation, how they keep you from your friends and family, the cycle of violence, and hope for change. We're going to be discussing that this month as well. We're also going to be discussing the lack of resources, which is a very, very big factor dealing with domestic violence. Also, the institution response, the response that they get when they call certain institutions to help them. We're going to discuss that as well. Sometimes money, if not next week, we also will be discussing the social barriers of domestic violence. And we also will be discussing next week, we will be discussing for a fact how to take action against your abuser, and how also we want to help the abusers. So we're going to talk about how they should get help for themselves, get some type of coaching and some type of counseling to help them to not stop them from being an abuser. And I think miserable for them as well, because after they do all of this and then they're feeling sorry for themselves, they even cry because they feel sorry and have to go through a whole bunch of changes, worrying whether or not their partners or their wives are going to leave them. So it's so many things dealing with domestic violence that we're going to be learning this month. But let me give you some resources of how you can, if you know anyone that's living in a domestic violence environment, this information will be given out every week as well. They can, the crisis intervention, they have a crisis intervention line as well as a 24-hour crisis line. They have a comprehensive case management. They have the intervention services for children and emergency safe shelters as well. Once you go out and try and get help for yourself, you will receive help. There's also the Children's Center, Children's Hospital, Children's Bureau, the Immigrational Legal Program, Catholic Charities, another. Facilities here in Louisiana. I'm quite sure it's in other states as well. But in the hotline, let me give you that number because I'm going to run out of time, and I do want to give that information out. You can always contact New Orleans Families Justice Center here in the city of New Orleans, and their phone number is 504-592-4000. The crisis hotline, 24-hour hotline assistance number is 504-866-9550, and they do have an 800 crisis line that you can call 24 hours a day as well. And that number is Louisiana is 225-752-1296. You can always go to www.lcadv.org. And you can get information. And now the 800 National Domestic Violence Hotline is 1-800-799-7233. You also and a domestic violence hotline, and that number is 1-888-411-1333. And listeners, we are out of time, and Mr. Smith, we're so glad to have you on today with us, and he'll be back with us next week for our closing prayer. But to contact me for any of this information after the show, you can go to my website, www.fearfacing, and also the Facebook page, Facing Your Fears, and my page, Norma Chapman, and also Facebook page, What Faith Can Do, and To Be Friends in Christ. Also, you can email me at norma_chapman@yahoo.com. And we're going to have our closing prayer, and we'll talk with you on next week. Father God, we thank you for today's show, Father God. We pray that, Father God, someone, Father God, was inspired out of something that I said that can help them go out and help domestic violence victims to come out of that environment that they're living in, Father God. And, oh, Father God, we pray that if anyone on the phone that's listening is going through a domestic violence environment, we pray that you would, Father God, talk to thy spirit, Father God, and let them know that this is not the way that you would want them to live, Father God, that you love them. You are not the author of no confusion, and that's not love. You said when you join someone together, let no man put asunder. You will not have someone beating and kicking and spitting on your children and treating them like they are not human, Father God. And we pray that, Father God, that someone, Father God, that would open their eyes, Father God, and come running to you saying, what must I do to be saved, Father God? I need you to help me to endure what I'm going through. And remember, listeners, to keep those that are on ventilators, Father God, we pray that you get them, that they would come off, Father God, those who have been infected by COVID-19. We still praying that, Father God, you would heal their bodies, Father God, and continue, Father God, to keep your loving arm and protection around all of us, that, Father God, that we may be able to continue to go forward in your word, Father God, and the path that you have put us on. And we thank you for keeping the virus from around. So many listeners may have had the virus. We thank God that they are healed on today. Until next week, Father God, keep us, Father God, keep us in your will, Father God. Keep your arms of protection all around us. This prayer I lift up in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Listen to the end of our show, and you'll be blessed. Bye-bye now.
Bye now.